As you know, we've been talking about the adventures of Paul out there on the sea and the shipwreck and all the trouble that he endured coming to Rome. But just within a few days of arriving at Rome, Paul reaches out to the Jewish leaders of that city in order to share with them. Wasted no time. Paul's goal has always been, as we've mentioned before, to bring the message of the gospel to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Paul indeed was perceived as the apostle to the Gentiles, but that doesn't mean that he didn't always begin by bringing the message to the Jews. And so Paul calls together the Jewish leaders to where he is staying. Verse 23, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. Now, where was Paul staying? Well, he was staying in his own quarters, but he was, in essence, in prison. He had a Roman guard shackled to him. He did not have the freedom to wander about the city, going wherever he wanted to go. He was under what you could call a house arrest, if you will. But he shared the gospel. And if he could not go to others, he encouraged them to come to him. And then the latter part of verse 23, it says this: from morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. A lot in that verse right there. I look at this from morning till evening. It's far different than the one-hour Bible studies that we are accustomed to. I enjoy Bible study. I enjoy an hour of Bible study. I'm not sure if I would have the same attitude if it were morning till evening, although sometimes during my studies in seminary, it was from morning till evening. Paul spoke about the law of Moses, about the kingdom of God, from morning till evening, and many people came to visit him. There's three key words in this verse here that I think, and we've talked about these words before, but we see them all three together again, and it's a reminder to us of what Paul did and what we are called to do as well. Three key words. The first word is explained. Paul explained the scriptures. The word in the original language is ekthetēmi. And again, we've seen this word before, and we've seen this practice before. What does it mean to explain? It means to set out, to lay before, to make something clear, to expound, to expose it. Expository preaching, good Bible study, does that very thing. It opens up the text. It tries to explain, to make clear, to bring before the eyes and ears and minds of the hearers what the scriptures are all about. We saw this practice of making clear when we observed Priscilla and Aquila in the city of Corinth, or actually the city of Ephesus. City of Ephesus, explaining the scriptures to Apollos. If you remember back in Acts chapter 18, Apollos came to the city. He began to have Bible studies and explain the scriptures. Priscilla and Aquila heard him and offered him some explanation. Let's read Acts chapter 28, verse 25. He, that is Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and here's our key thought: when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Apollos knew about Jesus. He knew the scriptures. But he needed further explanation. He needed some expounding, explaining of the text. And so Priscilla and Aquila offer to that. Paul knows that the Jewish audience that is before him, they know the scriptures. They've read Isaiah before. They've read all the prophets. But they needed some explanation to show them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. The second word that we want to look at here is the word to testify. To testify. In the NIV translation on the overhead, it is translated declare to them. And the word in the original language is diamarturomai. And this is a word where you are to take your personal knowledge and declare it and to assert it, to testify. In fact, the root of that word used here is the word martus, the word for witness. Actually, the root word also is the word martyr, witness, a testimony. That's the very same word we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a key verse. We've revisited time and time again our theme verse for the book of Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Paul saw himself as a witness. He saw himself in testifying, being a martus, a witness to the things he had heard and seen. And Paul uses this idea throughout his work. In fact, he describes his work in Acts chapter 20 to the elders at Ephesus when he visited with them for the last time. Paul says, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. What's that task? He finishes this thought this way. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul saw himself as a witness. We are called to be witnesses as well. Do we own that task? Do we testify about how God has changed our lives? Do we testify to the gospel of God's grace? Jesus had called Paul to testify. Jesus calls us to testify. Remember the promise of Jesus to the apostle Paul from Acts chapter 23, verse 11? This is when Paul had arrived in the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus came and visited with him and encouraged him. And it says in verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you will also testify in Rome. Where is God calling you to testify? Is it a neighbor? Is it a colleague? Someone you know from a club or an organization you're involved with? God calls all of us to be witnesses, fills us with the Holy Spirit. Who has God called you to offer testimony? So Paul was explaining the scriptures to them. He was testifying, giving that personal knowledge of what he had experienced. And the third thing he was doing here in this verse, verse 23, is he was persuading them. In the NIV, it's translated, he was trying to convince them. Patho is the word in the original. It means to convince something or someone to believe something or to act upon those beliefs. Now we know that God is the one who will change the heart of a man. Ultimately, we do not persuade people, but God does. However, God uses us. He uses our words in order to persuade others. He calls us to explain, to testify, and to seek to persuade. And so we strive to persuade even while we leave the results to God. That word patho, where we get the word persuade or convince, is actually used twice in this session. Verse 23 we just read, and then also in verse 24 it says some were convinced, same word is used, some were convinced, some were persuaded by what he said. Now, if he hadn't said anything, would the people have been persuaded? Well, probably not. You have to offer up those words. You need to give testimony. You need to give the opportunity so that others can hear and to be convinced. God may do the ultimate work of changing the heart of a man, but if we do not speak, if we do not share our testimony, if we do not seek to persuade, men and women will not hear and not be convinced or persuaded by what was said. That word patho, to persuade, to convince, is used elsewhere in the work of Paul. We saw Paul in the city of Corinth, chapter 18, trying to persuade. Chapter 18, verse 4, every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Gentiles. In Acts chapter 19, we see Paul doing the same thing in the city of Ephesus. Verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. We recently finished up the 5 defenses of the Apostle Paul before the Roman officials in the city of Caesarea. We recall in verse chapter 28, we saw Paul standing before Agrippa, offering up his final defense of his faith. And in verse 28 of that chapter, Acts 26, 28, it said, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?'" Obviously, Agrippa saw that Paul had a goal. He was trying to persuade him. He was trying to convince him about who Jesus was. Paul replied, verse 29, "Short time or long, I pray that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Is that our goal? To be a testimony, to be a witness, to seek to persuade others? Do we actively try to persuade others about Jesus? Or do we simply wait for them to come and ask us about our faith? It's a difference between being proactive and being reactive. Paul was proactive. He put forth the message of Jesus. He sought to persuade people to put forth his faith in a proactive way, rather than being reactive, rather than just simply waiting on for someone to ask him. You know, the person that comes to mind when I think about this principle is our good friend Ed Mullins. Ed Mullins, have you ever heard him talk and share his experiences? Here was a person who proactively shared his faith, met someone at the gas station to tell him about Jesus, or asking about church, saw someone on his walk, and he himself initiated the conversation. I always admire Ed Mullins for that. Bold, faithful, very proactive in reaching out and initiating conversations about Jesus, not just being reactive, waiting for someone to ask him. Sometimes people will ask us, and that's a great opportunity, and we should take that opportunity. But we need to be bold and convincing and seek to persuade others about Jesus. Now, what was the focus of all this explanation, testifying, and persuasion? Well, it tells us there in verse 23, it was the kingdom of God. It was about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. When Paul is trying to persuade them and convince them and explain to them the kingdom of God, it's the gospel. In this context, the kingdom of God is the gospel message. Wherever Paul went, he set forth that gospel, that truth about Jesus and what he did for us, and the value and importance of putting our faith and trust in Jesus. He talked about Jesus from the law and the prophets. When Paul taught in the synagogue in Ephesus, or when he lectured in the hall of Tyrannus, he taught people about the kingdom of God and about the word of God. Paul tried to convince, to persuade those Jews that Jesus fulfilled the messianic promises of Scripture. He desired to share Jesus with them. When I think about that, the thought that comes to my mind is the story of Jesus and those two men on the road to Emmaus. On the day in which Jesus was raised from the dead, he found himself walking outside of Jerusalem, meeting two men, and walked with them to their destination. And it says in the Gospel of Luke that he persuaded them and showed them from the Scriptures, from the law of Moses, and from the prophets, that the Messiah must suffer, but then be raised again from the dead. Paul desired to share Jesus with these Jewish leaders in the city of Rome. We've looked often at Romans chapter 10, where Paul expresses his desire that his countrymen might be saved and that their zeal for God might be expressed not in terms of a righteousness that comes from the law, but through faith in Jesus. Paul explained, testified, and persuaded. Now, verse 24 tells us that some were convinced by what he said, and others would not believe. It is interesting how some people respond and some people don't respond. Some people's hearts are softened. Some people's hearts are hardened. Throughout Paul's experience, he had similar situations where he would bring that message of Jesus to the Jewish synagogue, and some would believe and some would not believe. This is often illustrated with the example of the wax and the clay. The same sun shines upon the wax, and the wax becomes soft. That same sun hits the clay and hardens it. Some were convinced. Some did not believe. Some people's hearts were softened. Some people's hearts were hardened. That's what Paul is experiencing here. The text implies that the audience is divided over the proper interpretation of the Scriptures. How are we to take the law of Moses and the prophets? Again, this is where we get back to the importance of expository preaching, explaining the Scriptures. And that's what Paul spent much time doing, trying to convince the Jewish listeners that their own Scriptures pointed to Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophets and as a fulfillment of that law of Moses. Verse 25, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement. Verse 25, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through the prophet Isaiah. And before we look at the words of Isaiah and what fulfillment is being talked about here, let's notice one important feature from this statement. Notice that the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your forefathers. Paul attributes the word he's about to speak not to the prophet of Isaiah, but to the Holy Spirit, who indeed is the primary author of the Scriptures. Paul says something very similar to this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That Bible you hold in your hand, it may say the gospel according to Matthew or the letter according to the Apostle Paul, but Paul's affirming that all Scripture is spoken by the Word of God. It's God-breathed. It's a great principle for us always to remember as we study the Bible. It is a piece of writing that is different than all other books you've been reading. It has God as its primary and ultimate author. Well, let's go on to now what Paul is going to quote. What does Isaiah say, and how does that apply to the situation here? Paul is going to quote Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. This is what Paul says. He says, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. What is Isaiah talking about? What does it mean about hearing but not listening, seeing but not perceiving? Well, the people hear, but they do not listen. They see, but they do not understand. Otherwise, if they saw and they understand, they would repent. They would experience the forgiveness of God. If only they had listened and understood, they would respond. There's a few important principles that we glean from this passage. I'm just going to share two of them with you this morning, and then we'll move on. The first is we need to not just hear, but listen. If we don't listen, we don't understand, we don't respond, we really are just simply digging a deeper hole for ourselves. Our hearts actually become calloused. We cannot respond the way God wants us to respond. God wants us to listen so as we to change and repent and be forgiven. But when we do not listen, our hearts get ever more calloused. The other thing I want us to notice here is Isaiah is being told here, and again, notice where we quoted from, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and following. Now, we have preached on the opening verses of Isaiah 6 in the past. This is the description of Isaiah's vision of God in the As he stands before God and he sees God upon his throne and the seraphim flying around and the angels declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And then one of the seraphim picks up a coal from the fire, brings it down and touches the lips of Isaiah. And the voice says, "Who shall go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, here am I, send me." We've talked about that passage on a number of occasions, especially when we've talked about missions and the desire to go and be willing to go. So in the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 6, we receive or we hear the description of Isaiah's call to ministry. And then in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9, the passage being quoted here, we have this passage about how they will hear but not listen, see but not understand, their hearts will become callous. What are we to glean from that? Well, I think the principle we need to glean from that is we need to preach, we need to be witnesses, we need to share the gospel in spite of how people respond. You know, sometimes you and I, we don't get a good positive response, and so we stop sharing. Isaiah is being told, they may not listen to you. They may not understand, but I am calling you to share. I'm calling you to preach. We need to share the gospel with others, even if they do not listen to us. Here's another thing I hope you noticed. This prophecy of Isaiah, it's not about Jesus. It's not about the Messiah. There are many prophecies in Isaiah about the coming Messiah. There are many prophecies in Isaiah that are fulfilled by Jesus. But this particular prophecy doesn't apply to Jesus. It applies to the listener. Those who refuse to hear the word of God. The main point here is that hearing is not really hearing if the message is not embraced and acted upon. This passage in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, that Paul is quoting, is about the rejection of the Jews of the gospel. It's an interesting passage, Isaiah chapter 6. It's quoted actually six times in the New Testament. Jesus uses this very passage three times. In the context of Jesus' use of this passage, it was an explanation of why the Jew and the Jewish leaders would not embrace, would not believe, would not understand his message. The Apostle John uses it once in his gospel. And his point is that the Jewish people did not understand the miracles of Jesus. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They refused to believe in Jesus. And so John quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and following, to explain why the Jews were unable to believe. And the final two places it's used by the Apostle Paul, here in our passage this morning, but also, very interesting, it's used in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We've talked about this particular passage before. This is the popular image of the olive tree. Paul uses this little metaphor, the olive tree, in Romans chapter 11. The olive tree represents the kingdom of God, roots deep in the nature and the character and the words of God, and then the branches representing the people of God. And if you remember this particular metaphor, this illustration, again, we've talked about this before, some of the branches were broken off because they did not believe, cut off and removed. And that's how Paul uses this passage. He says they were cut off and removed from the olive tree because they refused to believe. Others were grafted in. Others were grafted in. This was the Gentiles were grafted in because they did believe. And then in time, the hope is that others would come back to and be regrafted into the olive tree. It's a wonderful illustration. Please review this afternoon from Romans chapter 11. But Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and following in this explanation of this olive tree. And the idea is because of their unbelief, they were cut off and removed from the olive tree. Here in Acts chapter 28, Paul states that the rejection by the Jews comes from their inability to really listen and to see and thus to accept the message of Jesus, to repent and to experience the forgiveness of God. Back in the time of Isaiah, he was commissioned to proclaim the message to the people, and then God said that they will not truly listen to you, and therefore their hearts will become calloused. And that's what Paul is experiencing today. I hope that causes us all to wonder. How often do we hear, but we do not really listen? How often do we see, but we don't really understand the message of God? Oh yeah, we hear the message of God every week, in Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, during our worship time. But do we listen? Do we really apply it? And that's what's being talked about here. Hearing is one thing, listening, changing, being transformed is another. Do we really apply it? Do we really act upon it? Allowing it to change our hearts. Paul was saying to the Jewish leaders, as Jesus spoke before him, as John the Apostle spoke in his gospel, you're hearing, but you're not listening. You're seeing, but you're not perceiving. Isaiah chapter 6 reminds us that it's not just about having our ears open, but rather it's having our hearts open. It's not just about seeing, it's about truly perceiving. Do we hear the Word of God? Or do we listen to the Word of God? Do we apply it? Do we act upon it? Do we allow it to transform us? Isaiah's message was, if the people truly listened, if they truly understood, they would repent and experience the forgiveness of God. Come to God. Note that at this point, Paul is also distancing himself a bit from these unbelieving Jews. Earlier, he had said that he would describe them as my brothers, and now he's saying your forefathers. You know, the same thing happened with Stephen that we saw back in Acts chapter 7. And first, Stephen talked about our forefathers as he tried to share with the Jewish leaders in the Sanhedrin. But when they rejected him at the very end, he distanced himself and said, your forefathers. Back here in Acts chapter 28, the Jews had expressed a desire to hear Paul. But then they were hardened in their hearts. They were hardened to his message. And they did not really listen to his words and thus receive the salvation that Paul desired for them. It would be different with the Gentiles. They would hear, they would receive. Again, that's the very point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 11 with his olive tree metaphor. That while the Jews did not listen and did not believe and were not convinced, the message of the gospel will be embraced by the Gentiles. And then we turn now to verse 28. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation, Paul says, God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. They will listen. Again, that's the olive tree metaphor. The branches that did not believe were cut off and discarded. Those wild olive branches, which is the Gentiles, who did believe were grafted into the olive tree. The Jews hear, but they do not listen. The Gentiles are willing to listen. All who truly listen and who understand will respond with repentance, with the experience of God's forgiveness and grace. That's what Paul desires most of all for his Jewish brothers and sisters. That they would truly understand, that they would truly listen, that their hearts would be softened. That was the plan of God. Let's close. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We thank you so much for the message of the gospel. Our desire is not simply to hear, but to listen. Not simply to see, but to perceive, to have our hearts transformed and softened and inclined toward you rather than having hearts that are calloused and distant from you. As we continue to hear the gospel, open our ears so that we would also listen. As we see the acts of God, let us perceive them as acts of God. And let our hearts turn toward you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.